26. We're going to be looking there in a little while. So we do have the PowerPoint presentation for you tonight. So we will be going through some verses through that first, and then we will end up in Matthew chapter 26 here in just a few minutes. Matthew 26, the title of tonight's message is Why Some People Throw in the Towel, or Why Some People Quit. And I tell you, it's really easy to want to give up. It's really easy to want to say it's not worth it. But anytime you think about quitting, I think if you remember Christ and you remember the mission that he's given us, and you remember the purpose and that other people are lost, I mean, you go to the cross and you just take a look at the cross for a little while, boy, then you're not going to give up. We're thankful that he didn't give up on us. He loved us till the end, and he promises he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. But you know what? Sometimes you do get tired. And one of the things that I think we must guard against, and one of the things we talk about, is not quitting. I've been only in the ministry for 13 years, and I know that seems like a long time, but I've seen some things, and I think most of you could say the same thing. We've seen people give up, and we've seen people quit before. And I'm just talking about church members or just people that attend church that have thrown in the towel and said it's done, it's not worth it. We've seen pastors do the same thing. In the last 13 years, I've seen, pastors that end up in jail for some reasons, or even heard of one pastor who committed suicide after having a damaging testimony. And I know of other pastors who've just said, hey, I'm going to go do a secular job. It's just not worth all the headaches. But I think we need to have it purposed in our heart that we're going to continue on, that we're going to keep on working. And as we're talking, if you want to tie it in with the theme this year, while we're going to keep on building, we're going to keep on going forth. So tonight I would like to share with you guys four different reasons. Now, I know that there's more than this, but I know not everybody wants to be here all night. So we just picked four different reasons, and four different reasons why some people throw in the towel. First thing I want you to think about is because they love the world. Because they love the world. In 2 Timothy 4:10, the Bible says, "For Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world." Now, Paul is sitting there in the jail cell, and he knows his life is getting ready to end. He's getting ready to offer up his life as a sacrifice because he knows the end's there. He writes that in the verses before and after this. And he says, look, Demas, who was a believer or is a believer still, he forsook me. He got an attraction to the world. He threw in the towel for serving because of the fact that he ended up loving this world more than he did love God. And, say, what do you mean by the world? We're not talking about the trees and the planets. We're talking about the world system. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world." A preacher once put it this way, "The lust of the flesh is a consuming desire to do. The lust of the eyes is a consuming desire to have. And the pride of life is a consuming desire to be." And that those things, wanting to have, wanting to do, wanting to be, cause them to say, hey, it's just not worth serving God. But the problem with the world is, yes, it is desirable. Don't get me wrong. When Eve looked at that fruit and she thought that she could become like God, it was something that was desirable for her. And there is pleasure in sin for a season. The world always looks good, but the world is deceitful. The devil never delivers on what he has promised you. The world is full of deceitfulness of riches. Full of things that say, we're going to offer you things that will make your life better. We're going to offer you things that are going to help you and do what's... The world is very desirable. But the world is demanding also. No man, ever having attained the worldly pleasures that he desires, is satisfied. You can look at many quotes from many millionaires or billionaires. The one that was asked, how much would be enough money? He said, one more dollar. Even in Ecclesiastes, the Bible tells us, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity." He says, if you have a love for something of this world, your heart will never be satisfied. It's too demanding. It's like that horse sleaze that says they want more and they want more and they want more. Also, the world is destructive also. You think about it, Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. And we can look and we look at different pictures of sin. You think about how David is weeping over the grave of his child, or Judas hanging from that tree. You even think about Esau trying to repent, even though that he wasn't sincere in that, to turn to God. You know, this is where the world will leave you. This is where the world will take you. I know people say today, the world's got everything you need, everything you have to offer. But even the quote-unquote beautiful people of this world, those stars and this and that, how come they have so many different divorces? And how come they have so much addiction problems? How come they have miserable lives towards the end of their life? Why is all these things? Why do they commit suicide? All this. If they had all that the world had to offer, it's because the world is very destructive. But it's one of the reasons why people leave. It's one of the reasons why people give up. One of the reasons why I say, hey, I'm not going back to church. There's something more attractive out there for me. I don't know about you, but I've tried what's out there. Maybe not as much as some people, but I know it doesn't have what I need. And that's the reason why we don't need to throw in the towel, is because even though the world may look like it's desirable, it's very demanding, but it's very destructive. Christian, tonight, don't throw in the towel for the things of this world. You will never be satisfied. You will regret. You'll be at the end of your life saying, I wish I would have done more. Someday you'll stand before God. Someday everyone will stand before God. I heard a sermon today, or not today, but throughout the week, I listen and I read sermons and things like that, and I came across the title, Everybody Gets to Go to Heaven. I thought, that's kind of strange, but they were talking about the white throne judgment, that some are going there to live, but how God is going to judge him. I understood the idea of it then, that, you know, that someday they'll stand before God. And someday we'll stand before God, and the gleaming things of this world, the things of this world that we thought was going to bring happiness, the things of this world that we thought was going to bring satisfaction, the things of this world that we were willing to throw our testimony away for, we were willing to throw our families away for, willing to throw our ministries away for, willing to throw away everything that God had given us. It didn't end up being what we thought it was. And it's tough. It's hard, because I've seen so many young people leave for the world and they come back broken. Sometimes with unwanted pregnancies. Sometimes with divorce. Sometimes with many, many times with much heartache. And I want to encourage you, young and old, don't throw in the towel because of this world. This world will lead to destruction. Second thing I want to show you why some people throw in the towel is because they listen to men. I know some of them are women. I know some of them are boys. I know some of them are girls. But they listen to man's wisdom, worldly wisdom. They listen to what man has to say. I don't know how many times we've seen us doing work and us trying to help somebody and us investing our lives in someone's life, a young person, even older people's life, and we spend hours and weeks and months and years praying for them and teaching them and showing them the Word of God, and just to have someone come up and just start saying, you don't have to do that. Bible doesn't say that. And something that a parent has maybe tried to train and instill in their kids for years, to have somebody who is ungodly or someone who does not care about the things of God, someone who is unsaved, to come up and just say, why are you doing that for? And it's because they listen to the world's wisdom. They listen to men. Bible says in Galatians 5:7, you did run well. And Paul is speaking to the church of Galatia, and there was a problem there. There's people that had turned the church of Galatia against Paul. And he goes up to him and says, you did run well. He says, who did hinder you? He didn't say what did hinder you. He said, who was the one that took you off the eyes of Christ and took you off of remembering all the things we had taught, all the things we had invested in? And Paul in the book of Galatians talked about how he travailed in birth again, how he had given so much effort and so much to them. He says, who was the one that was taking you off this pathway and turned your head somewhere else? Some people throw in the towel because they begin listening to man's wisdom. They begin listening to the world's wisdom. They begin listening to people who are just really, many times, don't care for them. You know, I've never met someone who stopped coming to church because of the fact that they read it in the Bible. Never met someone like that. Never met someone who said, we're going to change our music to sound like the world's music because we read it in the Bible. It's not there. It's man's wisdom that says hey, you don't have to go to church that much. It's man's wisdom that says, hey, you got to use a different Bible. It's man's wisdom that says, hey, you got to sound like the world to reach the culture. You got to look like the world. You got to act like the world. That's not found in here. That's found in man's wisdom. And I'm not saying that we have to act like we live in the 1800s. But I'm also saying that I don't think we have to act like it just because man tells us that. You think about what the Bible says in Acts chapter 20. Paul is there and he's saying goodbye to a precious group of believers and pastors. He says, for this I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He said that there will be people who will come in after I leave, after I'm gone on the scene. There will be people who will come into churches and they will do their best to try to destroy you. Some people throw in the flock, throw in the towel because they've been deceived. As the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Friends can turn you the wrong way. You better make sure we have scriptural friends and you have safety in the multitude of counselors, but they need to be wise and godly counselors. It's not just something that people are listening to their own thoughts and their own reasoning. It's sort of like Saul telling David, David, you can't go fight Goliath. You're just a youth and he's a man of war from his youth. Saul wasn't right with God. He had no right, no business giving advice and giving what David should and should not do. And I want to encourage you today, if you're not right with the Lord, if you're not saved or you're not in the spot where you should be, we have no right to be giving out advice to people trying to say, you know what we're relying on? We're relying on our manly wisdom or worldly wisdom. And yes, the world is desirable. Yes, this is what the world would tell you. Yes, you don't need to do this. And yes, you can do this. And no, you don't have to say those things. You know, but that's the world's wisdom. And what's the world going to tell you? It's demanding. You keep on keeping up with it. It's going to be very destructive also. Jude wrote it this way when he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He says, I had an interest in telling the world about how to get saved. But he said, I had to write again. I had to tell you that as a Christian, we need to earnestly contend for the faith. He said, because for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God, our God, into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There will always be those who will be trying by unscriptural wisdom to draw you away from the truths that we should hold so dear. I don't know. I grew up. I was a teenager. I went through certain things. I worked in the secular world. And I think we need to be careful with our kids. Will we let them work? Because I know there was a lot of bad influences there. Did they need a job? Yes. Did they need work? Yes. But there were a lot of bad influences. And I get the idea of Daniel in there and the wicked that God allowed him to go to Babylon. And I get the idea of Joseph going to Egypt and all those different things. But I think we need to be careful as our young people are being developed and as they get older that who we let them hang around with, because I know a lot of those people that's work, they try to influence me. You go to church? And then, why can't you work on Sunday? Why can't you? And they weren't asking because they were interested. They were asking because they wanted to change what I had learned and what I held dear. So the antidote of this worldly wisdom is found, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So here's the idea. If I want to fix this, if I want to not be living according to man's wisdom and worldly wisdom, if I don't want to listen to man, I want to listen to God, we need to go to God and approach God's word. The answers are in there. And so often we turn to people and we turn to things and what do you think and how do you feel? What's the Bible say when it comes to these decisions, when we're making decisions? Third thing I want you to see is that because they live in worry. See, worry is one of those sins we've been talking about in Sunday school class that nobody else can see. And you say, well, where do you see that? Well, Elijah, the great prophet Elijah, the one that God used in so many spectacular ways, he was worried what Jezebel was going to do. He had just help with the Lord's help. The Lord cast down fire. 850 false prophets fell. But It says in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 2 and 3, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He ran away. He was worried. 850 prophets did not scare him. King Ahab sitting there on that mountain didn't scare him. But one note from a woman scared him. Why? He was worried what was going to happen. He was worried what would happen to him. And it seems like it's almost unbelievable, but many times we let worry cause us to throw in the towel. I can't keep on serving. I can't keep on going to church. I can't have this standard, because if I have this standard that I know is in the Bible, maybe my kids won't like me. Maybe my husband won't understand me. Maybe my friends won't let me play anymore. I don't know what it is, but sometimes we worry so much that we are anxious about so many things that we allow it to stop us from doing what we know what's right. What will my husband think if he sees me reading my Bible and praying? What will my wife think if I try to lead my family? What will my friends think if I act and do what's right? The Bible tells us that in Scripture, that worry is a sin. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Worry is a horrible burden that so many of us carry. And God says, look, take that burden, cast it on me. You can trust on me. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. And he tells us that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But so many times we let things of this world pressure us, and we begin worrying, and we become upset, and we become disappointed to the point where I can't do this anymore. And yes, the world's wisdom will say, it's okay for you to quit. It's okay for you to throw in a towel. You shouldn't have to go through all these things. But if we would just take those burdens of worry and cast them over to God, we would never consider be quitting. Instead, our relationship would be closer to God, and we would continue on serving because the worry's not there. In Psalms chapter 34, verse 7, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Wow. How foolish is it for us to allow worry to keep us from the path of God's will for our lives? He said, I'm there for you. I'm doing everything you need. Just give me your life. I can take care of you. So reasons why people throw in the towel, they love the world. There's some type of attraction. They said, that's more precious. That's more beautiful. They haven't got a good vision of Jesus Christ to say that, though. They listen to man's wisdom. They listen to other people. They listen to the world's thinking. It's, you know what? You don't have... That's the world's thinking. What does the Bible say? Because they live in worry. And last but not least, because they lean on their own understanding. They lean on their own understanding. Here in Matthew chapter 26, let's read verses 31 through 35. Matthew 26, verses 31 through 35, we see Peter, Jesus is going to reveal unto him that he's going to deny him. Peter says, it just ain't going to happen. Let's look what it says in Matthew 26, 31 through 35. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You know, I don't think Jesus is trying to point Peter out. Peter's the one that opens his mouth up first. And he says, look, I'll never be offended of you. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? What are you getting at? Why in the world would this cause somebody to quit? Well, when someone relies so much on themselves and not God, pride gets in the way. Pride becomes a problem. And when you fail and when you fall flat on your face, what do? You leave. You quit. That's what happens with Peter here. Peter, the Word of God, Jesus, the incarnated God, says to him, you're going to deny me. And Peter said, nope, not going to do it. He says, I know more than you do, Jesus. He says, I know more about me than you would ever know. Man, how much more prideful can you be than that? But in all reality, how much more are we prideful when we say, God, I know better. I know myself. I can handle this. Who are you to tell me that I shouldn't do this or that I need to do this and that I have to protect myself over here and that I got to do this things. I know what I can handle. I think that if you listen to, you look at different Bible characters who I think thought they could handle things. I think that Lot thought he could handle Sodom and Gomorrah. I think David thought he could handle being up on that being away from his battle where he should have been and walking away, taking a look. I think there was many different characters in the Bible that you look at and they thought, I can handle this. I know the warnings. I see the warnings, but it's okay. One of the reasons why people throw in the towel is because they lean to their own understanding. Here is a man who says he's smarter than the Lord Jesus Christ. He argues with Jesus and tells Jesus that he's wrong. He began by rejecting the word of God, and he relied on himself. Christian, it's important. If we really truly think that we're going to keep on doing and keep on going, it's not going to happen if we're going to rely on ourselves. The Bible says every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And some people would look at those verses and say, I know me. I know my heart. I know I would never, ever do things like that. But the Bible tells us that our heart is desperately wicked. The Bible tells us it's deceitful and we can't trust it. They never thought it could happen to them. They never thought they would have thrown in the towel. When we think we know more than God, we're going to end up quitting because our conscience has continually changed to the point where it went from a good conscience to being an evil conscience, to having a seared conscience. And we're talking a little bit about that in our Sunday school classes. And then in the end, we're going to say, you're wrong, God, and I'm right. And you know what's going to happen? Is we're going to fail. And when we fail, our fall is going to be big. And we're going to walk away. That's what happened with Peter. Don't get me wrong. Peter becomes remorseful. Peter remembers the word. He weeps bitterly. And all of us who are guilty of self-will and pride, we're going to end up winding up being extremely remorseful. But I know people who will not enter into a church house again because of the fact that they leaned on their own understanding and they had a great fall and thinks that they can never be used again. They sit at home instead of coming to church and say, just don't understand why. And I do understand why. Maybe I haven't gone through it. I do understand that they thought they knew better. And because they thought they knew better, they didn't trust in God. And because they didn't trust in God, they ended up throwing in the towel. It will never happen to me. It will never stop serving. I'll never get caught. We throw in the towel sometimes because we lean to our own understanding. So four simple things tonight. Loving the world. It is attractive. You know, sometimes you see those things and our flesh is drawn to it. I mean, our flesh is like, yeah, that's something I want. That's something I need. That's something I have to have. But what does the Bible say? That world has a price tag we cannot afford. Also, as one begin listening to others, be careful who is your advisors. Be careful who you are going to it for advice. Be careful when we begin to listen to this world's wisdom. This world system is completely different than ours. It's completely contrary to what the Bible teaches. And we got to make sure, once again, we're living in this world, but we're not of this world. And we got to remember that we're just a passing through. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. Does not mean that we have to look and act just like everybody else. Because when we listen to that wisdom, sooner or later, we're going to give up and throw in the towel. Also, remember to not live in worry. Worrying will rob you of your joy, will rob you of your strength. It will cause you to throw in the towel because you don't have room. There's no room for God in there. There's no room for service. There's no room to keep on going on because your life has been filled with so much more. And it will, like we talked about this morning, choke out the good word of God that's been entered into your life and entered into your heart. It's choke it out. And last but not least, don't lean onto your own understanding. You say, Pastor, some of these things seem like they're foolish. Well, in the world's mind, it is. In the world's eyes and our own understanding, some of these things we have to learn from the Bible. You know, We wouldn't have known it was sin unless God told us it was sin. We wouldn't have known what we should have done unless God told us what we should have done. He gives us warning signs. Don't get me wrong. I think, you know, there's warning signs that happen nowadays. You know, you ever seen that coffee cup that says coffee is hot? You know, that's a stupid warning because somebody sued McDonald's and they won. So now all the coffee pots, you know, coffee is hot. You know, you look at some warning signs and you're like, really? Why is that there? It's because somebody sued them. They won money from it. And so now they put ridiculous warning signs. But you know what? Sometimes that's what people take the word of God and they say it's ridiculous. When they read the instructions and they're like, I don't need that. That's when we lean to our own understandings. Very careful with this. That's what the church of Berea, they were more noble. Why? Because they searched the scriptures daily. Because they received it with a readiness of mind. I don't want to throw in the towel. I don't want to see any of you throw in the towel. Is that because we want you to come to church? Yes, we want you to come to church. But the life that God offers is a life that is abundant living. The life that the devil is trying to give you is one where he's trying to steal and kill and rob you of your joy. He's trying to send you a life down as miserable. He's trying to get you to the end of your life like Pharaoh drowning in the Red Sea. David crying over the grave of his baby. Judas hanging from the end of that rope. He's trying to get you to a spot where you're Korah dropping into the earthquake. He's not going to deliver what he's telling you. He's not. But we throw in the towel sometimes. Don't give up. Go back to the cross. See what God's done for you. Go back to the mission that he's given us of reaching the lost. And go back to Christ. See what the love he has for you. He's promised you he'll be there for you. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.